Hello and welcome to the Friday, June 14th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Washington, D.C. We got an interesting diary today by Richard Porter about an experience he had recently in a hotel with a fire alarm. Now, if you're staying in hotels frequently, you probably know that fires in hotels are a rather rare event. But what's not that uncommon is a false fire alarm. So many people assume that alarm is false as a result. So what Richard experienced is that when he heard the alarm, he did what he was supposed to do and went to the lobby, and well, he was the only one down there. It took about another 45 minutes for hotel staff to go from room to room to get people to assemble in the lobby. So probably if this would have been a real fire, this response time would be way too late and people would have probably gotten hurt. This problem with false positives is something we always have in security, in particular, of course, with intrusion detection. And one of the main reasons people stop watching their logs is that they see too many false positives, events that turn out to be nothing. And then, of course, the result is that you miss the real events. So one of the important things is to make systems like log monitoring, intrusion detection systems and such useful is to frequently tune them to make sure that you understand and reduce the false positives to a level where the device itself doesn't lose its value because you stop looking at it. But with that, let's take a look at other news, and I want to start with a little bit of different topic, and that's privacy. Allstate and the National Journal came up with a poll that polled people about their opinions on privacy. Of course, privacy, in particular with social networks, big data, and all of these keywords, is a big topic and something we as information security professionals, of course, have to safeguard. If our companies do collect data, we have to make sure it's actually used in the context that we promise users to use it in. Let me just highlight a couple of interesting bits from this poll. First of all, it was finished before the news about Prism broke, but still 85% of Americans do believe that their communications, phone calls and such are accessible to the government, businesses and others, which in some ways confirms my sentiment about this particular news item that, well, what's the news here? Everybody knows that the government has access to the information. So in many ways, people believe that the entire privacy issue is kind of done anyway, and they don't actually believe that the information is used for good. They believe the negative impact is larger than the good impact in, for example, preventing crime. Now, when you're looking into what people expect from a good privacy policy, one issue that an overwhelming majority, I think 88%, were asking for was the ability to delete their information. So if you do design a system that does collect personal information, if you do want to distinguish yourself from others, that's probably one feature to continue. And everybody involved with sort of big data and collecting data in general usually will find it pretty hard to implement because what we are usually worried about in information security is to just prevent that from happening. So we keep plenty of backups, we make sure the data cannot be deleted, but having the ability to actually erase personal information may actually be a selling point at some point. For more details, just check out the link in the show notes. And the Department of Homeland Security is warning about issues with industrial control systems. Again, this time not in electrical power plants or oil platforms. Instead, it's about hospital equipment. Turns out that a lot of hospital patient monitoring equipment and such is using systems that are very similar to these industrial control systems. Same software, same type of controllers, same vulnerabilities. As a result, it's important for hospital staff to understand some of these issues and, for example, observe best practices in deploying this equipment when it comes to connecting them to networks. If you remember, we covered problems with medical security in the past. For example, we had some EMR systems that were infected with malware at one point. Also, when Ed Skotis talked about Cyber City at the RSA conference, he mentioned how terribly vulnerable the patient software was that they used as part of their simulation. And OWASP updated its top 10 list of web vulnerabilities. Not a huge change here. A couple of vulnerabilities got combined. The one new one that was added was the use of known vulnerable components. That's, of course, always a problem, and I had issues with that in the past a couple of times. It's really hard sometimes to enumerate all of these little libraries, Flash applets, and so on that you include in your web application and keep up to date with those. So if you have some time next week, if you have some complex web applications, that's probably a good thing to do, is to go through what kind of standard software do you use as components in that web application, bulletin boards and so on, that you need to track and make sure that they're up to date. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.